Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I talked with Philadelphia Museum of Art Director Timothy Rubb about the museum's plans to transform its grand main building, which opened to the public in 1928.
We have a great but increasingly old building, and it needs to be renovated from top to bottom. Aging building systems need to be replaced or improved, such as electrical and mechanical and air handling systems. Life safety systems and security need to be improved. We need to make the building more energy efficient. Everything you'd want to do with an old building to bring it up to date, prepare to serve the needs of the community for another 100 years, needs to be done here. And that's very, very important, and that comes with a very significant price tag. But it needs to be done. And that's the essence of good stewardship as far as I'm concerned. If you have a great building that houses a great collection and you want it to continue to be useful for the community, you have to do that kind of work. Secondly, museums and the way they work have changed quite dramatically. So there are new functions or functions that have grown in importance that we need to accommodate within a building that was designed to do many different things, hence the changes we're proposing. We also have, and this is a very important point to underscore, we have a much larger collection and a much greater collection, and therefore more space is needed. Virtually every curatorial department, whether it's Asian art or American art, European art, is crying out for more space, and the need is really significant, particularly in the area of modern and contemporary art, where we have a truly great collection and simply not enough space to show it. But that, again, that observation could be made about American art, Asian art, and so on.
When you say the collection is larger and you need more space, is contemporary art in particular something that often requires different kind of space?
It does. You've asked a very, very interesting question. It's often said that contemporary art needs more space because much of it is so much bigger than the art produced in the past, and to some extent that is true, but it requires different kinds of spaces, more flexible spaces, spaces that are equipped with, often with projection equipment if you have videos and the like, spaces where you can conduct performances. It's a brave new world when it comes to the making of art today, and digital is very much in our minds, performance is very much in our minds, flexibility is very much in our minds as well. And the new design for the new galleries that will go underneath the East Terrace will provide for that. They're going to be amongst the largest and the tallest and the most light-filled and airiest galleries in the whole facility. I think they're going to be fantastic.
Well, now you've emphasized the collection is much, much larger than it's ever been, and it continues to grow. Is that the nature of museum collecting up today?
Yes, developing collections will remain, our collections will remain really central to our work. And I think it's actually central to the work of any museum. It keeps the museum alive, on top of things, engaged with the world. But there are so many other things, again, that museums do today that need additional space, need different kinds of facilities. Educating our audiences, activating our collections and making sense of them for audiences who may be unfamiliar with the Renaissance or ancient China or Islamic art or what have you. All of those things are really, really important. So interpreting the collections, bringing them to life, making them work in many different ways and in many different contexts, not simply galleries, but classrooms and seminar rooms and other kinds of spaces, is really important for museums today to fulfill their missions.
Can we look at the design, and can you give examples of how the design fulfills the functions we've been talking about?
Sure. What's so wonderful in my view about the work we've done with Frank Gehry and his partners on this design is that there are, yes, some big moves, but there are also lots of small changes and adjustments that we're making that will make a world of difference. So today, as visitors approach the West Terrace, it's hard to get up the stairs for some people. So providing permanent ramps and providing doors that are easier to open, doors that are wider, but also doors that allow people to look into the building and look out of it, is a way of creating a greater sense of transparency and accessibility for visitors coming to the museum for the first time. As they come into the west entrance, and into Lenfest Hall, they'll enter a newly organized and renovated space that We'll welcome them and will be much, much more engaging and much more interesting. But they'll also be able to use new and much expanded bathroom facilities as well, which has been an enormous problem for this museum. We have bathrooms from the 1920s, and they're just insufficient for our purposes today. So there are those kinds of practical changes that we've been attending to that are going to be really important. Adding elevators and putting them in the right place, and bathrooms and all sorts of things that matter a great deal, including better lighting throughout as well, better signage and so on. So all of those things, while each of them may be small, add up to a much greater and much more pleasant visitor experience. But also there are other things that we've been working on that are much more significant in impact. And one we're looking at right now, and that is the proposal that we remove the auditorium from its present location, put it somewhere else, and take that space and create a new public space, a new what we're calling the forum, just below the Great Stair Hall, which is going to be a key to reorganizing and clarifying the circulation of the building. It's going to be much easier when we have that space for people to get around and through that level, the ground level. What you see is that beyond the forum, visitors will be able to go into a new set of galleries that we're building underneath the East Terrace. And that space is quite large. The terrace comprises a space that's 300 feet wide by 300 feet deep. And when it's excavated and built, we'll be able to have 55,000 square feet of new gallery space there.
When you have a building like this, as we talked about, this iconic landmark, it's a building with a certain character and a personality. And how do you create such a major renovation without changing the personality of the building itself?
This is all about working within an existing building and first and foremost understanding and respecting what it's about. Gary has often talked about understanding the DNA of this building. So what is its fundamental character? What makes it work? What do you want to both understand and respect as you begin to design changes for it? So we looked at a couple of things. The language of the building, which is classical, and respecting that. The materials of the building, wonderful Kasota limestone from Minnesota, which we will use throughout the new spaces in the interior. And also the building is axial, that is to say, it's organized around long axes, which often intersect at right angles. So taking that kind of language of plan and architectural form and style and using it to define the changes and the additions we make is a way of blending old and new together and changing the building, but in a thoughtful and very respectful way.
What is the purpose of this exhibit right now?
We want to get started on the construction drawings and then the construction for the next phase. But to do that, we really need to put it out in the world and let people know what we're up to and why we think it's important to do this work. And it really needs to be understood as a blueprint for the future of the institution that will need to be developed or built out over time. Expensive and time-consuming, to be sure, but absolutely necessary. So we have determined as we've developed the design that it will have to be implemented in phases, and that's typical for any kind of master plan for a big institution. So the next phase will be what we're calling the core project. We're calling it the core project because it really is going to begin at the heart of the museum in the central section where people enter and exit the building. And it's going to involve a lot of renovation within our existing four walls. So many of our building systems, electrical, mechanical, air handling and so on, will be changed out and improved. We will renovate Lenfest Hall, which is the principal entrance to the museum for most visitors. We will remove the auditorium from just behind Lenfest Hall and build this new space that will allow visitors to get down to the galleries in the future. And we will renovate some other parts of the museum that are very, very important in terms of visitor circulation. We'll also, and perhaps most dramatically, open a new entrance to the museum, and that is the old loading dock, which before it was a loading dock, was also a public entrance facing Kelly Drive. It's a wonderful, wonderful space. It leads to an even more beautiful space, which we call the vaulted walkway, which is a great, great vaulted corridor, a grand thing that runs 640 feet across the entire length of the building on the ground level. So those are the fundamental improvements that will be made during the core project. And those two are setting up work we will do in the future. The exhibition is going to be divided into three parts. At the beginning of the exhibition, we're actually going to walk the visitor through time, give people some much-needed background about the history of the building, the site, and so on, as a kind of just setup or preface to the design. They're going to walk around the corner then, and they're going to meet the architect. Many people know Frank Gehry, some do not. He's one of the great architects of our time, and he's really done a great job for us, so we're going to introduce him. And then they're going to turn a corner, and they're going to come into a room that's full of the working models that we use to develop the design. So it will be as if they were walking into Frank Gehry's studio, taking a look at the work in progress. On one wall, we'll have a great view of the model in his studio, out in Southern California, and then we'll have on the other walls a detailed explanation of how the design works and what it's intended to accomplish. And then finally, we'll ask visitors to turn another corner, and they'll see some works from the collection, many of which haven't been on view for a long time because we haven't had the space. So the point is simply to say, the goal of this project is to care not only for a great building, but also to enable us to do the work we do, and that is sharing great art with our audiences.
Can you give an example of what will be on display that audiences haven't seen for a long time?
Well, we're going to focus on the three parts of the collection that will benefit the most from this work. There'll be a suite of objects from our collection of American art, including some new acquisitions. The Fox and Grapes dressing table, I think, will be on view, which is a work we're acquiring right now. Asian art will be very much privileged by this project, so we'll have much more space for our holdings of Chinese and Japanese, Korean, and South Asian art. And one of my favorite pieces is a 12-foot scroll that hasn't been on view for probably 20 years, and that we're bringing out for this exhibition, simply to say if they had more space, we could show more of these things. And then, of course, modern and contemporary art.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.